It's time to Talk It Over, starring Diane Diamond, Lee J. Berman, and Louise Palanker. Give us a call at 888-531-7171. Email us at talkitover@gmail.com. Join us online at talkitoverradio.com. Because we're ready to talk it over.
We are. We are so ready to talk it over. I am your beautiful co-host in Los Angeles, Louise Palanker, here in the studio with mediation superstar, superhero, Lee J. Berman. How you doing, Lee J.?
Oh, wait, which is it, a superstar or a superhero? I need to know whether to wear, like, my cape or just something super fantastic.
Anything with glitter is going to work for me.
I can see that. Lee J. Berman in glitter.
Yes. I don't know. Okay, that burns the eyes.
Pierce, stop now. Don't even go to the web. Because last time we did something like this, he made a picture of it.
He did. And on the East Coast, we have our journalistic phenom, Diane Diamond. How are you doing, Diane?
Well, pretty good, but not wearing any glitter. I do, however, have a little bit of spandex on.
Oh, and that's
ooh,
nice.
Go, girl.
Yeah. You are also super.
Thank you.
Yay. And we have...
Ready to solve some conflicts two people at a time, right?
Well, that's our job. I mean, that's our appointed duty, but we can also kind of chit-chat along the way, right?
I think
sure,
we can.
Like they do in the cop shows.
It is called Talk It Over.
Talk It Over. Have you guys had any interesting adventures this week? What's been going on?
No, I feel very boring this week. I've been doing a lot of writing. You know, I write my newspaper column, and I have my website, and got involved in an internet startup thing that's kind of interesting. But I like these people. No conflicts yet. Give me time, though.
All right, I'll stir something up. I can tell them that someone else said something about someone.
Gossip? No gossiping. No. That's not allowed.
I'm just teasing. We've had some adventures. Actually, Lee J and I did some travel together.
Boy, did we have an adventure.
We were in the outback of Arizona where the roads are not paved, and I still feel like I'm rattling at night. You know, I close my eyes and I still feel like, well, we took the train there. He went with his wife, and it was my sister's birthday. I won't say which one because she's a
lady. She listens.
But we traveled by train to Winslow, Arizona, and there's a beautiful hotel there, and then we rented a van that seats 12, and we just rattled around Arizona looking at beautiful things for a few days.
And this was supposed to be fun, the rattling and the no roads
the
and the
train.
All crammed into a van.
Diane, have you ever taken a train to sleep in?
Oh, yeah. No, I do. I love trains, and I especially like the ones in Colorado and up in the mountains in New Mexico. That's cool, but I don't know. I was much younger.
That was this. This was the overnight sleeper train / roller coaster.
Right. That's exactly what it was. And the toilet is also a shower. So, so you go to the toilet, and you don't even have room to turn around and change your mind because it's – and then – if you want to take a shower, it's going to be in the exact same room. So when you're sitting on the toilet, you have nothing else to do but to read the instructions for showering, which would hazard anyone against attempting this on the train.
And
the
I always do, however, like a little something to read, you know, while you're
while you're showering. Yes.
Yeah, well,
if it's laminated,
whatever
you can do that.
Else but you do.
The last instruction, you know, beyond closing all the doors and shutting off all sources of, you know, leakage, the last instruction is you may want to shower sitting down. So you're actually going to be sitting on the toilet showering yourself.
This is maybe a little too much information.
None of us did it. Of us on this trip, not one of us dared take a shower on the train.
Oh, no.
Sponge baths.
Well, now, but come on. You talk about built-in conflicts. That's traveling with a whole bunch of relatives mm-hmm. and close friends and very close quarters. Mm-hmm. There were no conflicts during this time?
Well, actually, there were. And would you like to know the issue that was of the most sort of discord betweenst us relatives?
Do tell.
Van temperature.
Of course.
But
you wanted it to be 84 degrees and everyone else wanted 70, right?
Or Lee J, who wanted it 65.
Finally, the solution was put Lee J up front near the vent, directing it towards his pits.
They call me menopause man now because I've got my own private oven going all the time. And they set me in the front row, and I had all three air vents from the dashboard mm-hmm. pointing at me, and everybody else was in back, and it was 80 degrees, and they were all cuddling up with Louise and happy.
We were just fine under our little blankets.
See, Louise didn't even have to have her boyfriend there to be turning the thermostat down because I was there in his place to make her ice cold.
Yes.
Louise, have you ever thought perhaps that we need to talk it over with you about your body temperature problems, your regulation problems?
There were several people in the van who were in agreement with me thermostatically.
Yeah, they were all related to you.
All right,
from the same gene pool.
Let's turn our attention to something in the news this time.
Oh, okay.
Shall we do that? That's, you know, we try to solve conflicts two people at a time here on Talk It Over. But this thing in the news, I'm astounded at this. If there was ever a situation that cried out for talking it over, this is it. In Silver City, New Mexico, there's a handicapped woman. She's wheelchair bound after an accident. She got evicted from her apartment. Why?
Why?
Because she uses a prescription of medicinal marijuana to help her manage her pain. And her landlord doesn't like that.
Oh.
He apparently smelled a little something, and he staged a surprise inspection. And then, boom, he gave her 3 days notice to move out.
Wow.
Now, Lee J, I know in your professional mediation, you often have these landlord-tenant disputes.
Not
Is that even legal?
Not too many of them smoking pot in the mediation, I got to say, though.
Is that even legal to just say 3 days and you're out?
The only thing I can speak to is in the state of California, the thing that catches me from what you just said is the surprise inspection, because landlords have to give at least 24 hours notice before they can enter a dwelling in California, unless it's an emergency. And, you know, obviously, if what he was really looking for was to see if she was smoking medical marijuana, that doesn't constitute an emergency, I don't think. But in terms of kicking her out, this is really interesting because, no, she's got a lease to live there. It's her home. She has a what's the word I'm looking for? She has an interest in the property, we'll just say.
And well, she has a right to be there if she has a lease.
Yeah.
I'm sure that extends to New Mexico as well as every other state.
Of course. And, you know, this is as silly as saying, you know, in the heat of the campaign, you know, I was going to vote for so-and-so, and you're going to vote for so-and-so, and I don't like your opinion, so you're out of your apartment. I mean, you can't kick people out willy-nilly. You've got to have a valid reason, like they're not paying their rent or they're damaging the property or something like that, unless her lease said no smoking or something like that.
Stoned grannies have rights.
I don't know if she was a granny, but it also brings in that whole quotient about handicapped people. You can't. There are sometimes rules and regulations about how you can deal with them. But how do you talk it over with someone who may have a moral opposition to something that you do, even if what you're doing is legal? Do you have that in your mediations, Lee J?
You know, I haven't mediated a case like that, but boy, we sure read about them in the news, don't we, Diane? I mean, there are all of these doctors who won't sell the morning after pill because they don't believe in the efficacy of it. They don't believe in the morality of it. There are some doctors who won't prescribe birth control for you know, people under 18 if they don't have doctor's permission, whether or not the law, or I'm sorry, parents' permission, whether or not the law requires it. There are a lot, and it's coming through that avenue that I keep reading about it. You know, you have dentists and doctors and pharmacists and people like that who won't do things that they don't agree with morally, although at the same time they've taken a Hippocratic oath to heal someone who's sick. And so that's the place that it seems to be stirring up the most commotion. I don't often see it in, you know, landlord-tenant cases or things like that.
It's a moral dilemma, and it always will be, I imagine. Let's go to the phones.
All right, we've got Patrick on the Talk It Over phone line. Hello, Patrick.
Hello, how's it going?
Patrick, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Thanks for calling Talk It Over. What's going on with you?
I'm calling because my issue is I live in the great city of Los Angeles where dreams are often met or destroyed.
Yes.
Depending on what day it is. But, you know, we have some really good friends, my wife and I, and we both have small children. And it's weird because now that we have children, you know, they've made quite a bit of money in show business, and I have made decent money in other stuff. But we kind of are conflicted over the fact that, like, we want to raise our kid and we don't want to have, like, a nanny, like, 24/7 or take them places or, you know, it's kind of like we're kind of at odds of the fact that we want to raise our kid and they want to pay people to raise their kid. And it's kind of like creating a lot of animosity between us.
So
you know what I'm getting at?
So the nanny's doing a ride-along wherever you go? Is that what's happening?
Well, it's like, you know, sometimes it's like, well, you know, we're having a party. Oh, great. Well, don't bring your kid because it's not that kind of thing. But it's like, you know, if lot of people in Los Angeles that never take their kids to do anything, and they have nannies like 24/7, and we just don't believe in that. And it's like, if it means we don't hang out as much, I guess we're not going to hang out.
So, Patrick, what is it you want to talk over with them? What would you say to them if you could?
Well, I would just say, it's like, I don't believe that, you know, when you don't spend, like, a lot of time with your kid and have somebody else raise your kid in a lot of situations, I think it's going to be have a negative, you know, it's going to have a negative kind of throwback over the years.
And so you've lost respect for these people because you have ideological differences and you just no longer want to hang out with them? Or do you think there would be a conversation that could possibly help things here?
Well, it's just kind of like, it comes across as like kind of phony when it's like, oh, I have so many other things in my life going on. It's like, what more important thing could you possibly do than hang out with your kid? Now, I know a lot of people are really busy, but if like if you come into money, like if you win the lottery and basically, you know, it's like, oh, I've got somebody to handle Junior all the time. It's like, I don't buy into that at all. It's like, you should be, that should be one of the great, you know, accomplishments of your life.
All right, so, Patrick, let me ask you this. Let me interrupt you for a minute and ask you this.
Please.
What about this bothers you so much?
Well, it just comes across as like, you know, sometimes I feel like I'm being left out because I'm doing the right thing.
Left out by them?
Of like having fun and going out and doing stuff because we don't want to have a babysitter several nights a week because, you know, obviously for our jobs we have to have some daycare in the day, but it's like, you know, these guys have a nanny like pretty much round the clock. And I guess it makes me a little bitter in terms of like, you know, I'm doing the hard labor of dealing with a, you know, a two-year-old where they can just hand it off. Oh, I don't want to deal with this.
Well, I'm hearing a little bit of resentment, and like you want to be validated for what you're doing, and I'm here to tell you your validation is in your child.
Yeah.
That is your validation. Is this a boy or a girl?
Boy.
He is why you're doing this. It's not to prove anything to anyone, to the world, to your friends, to anyone other than this child that is going to be so much of a better human being for you having been his dad, and there's nothing else to prove to anyone.
And Patrick, the other piece of it is how you feel when you look in the mirror, because you know you're doing the right thing and you're proud of the choice you're making day after day after day. But it sounds like you've got a rift with these friends you're going to have to talk over with them. So let's talk about that for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
One of the things you've got to do is separate your judgment and your feeling about what they're doing from how it's affecting you. So you've got to say, you know, guys, it's so hard for me because I want to be home with my son. I don't want to be out, you know, having a nanny raise him at night too, but I miss hanging out with you guys because you guys are always going out and I feel left out. Maybe we can plan something, you know, every week or every 2 weeks or something where I go out with you guys, but I can't hang with you every night like this because I'd rather be home with my son.
Right. Well, I think when he like knocked over a camera, which was like pretty expensive, and then it was sort of like, it was the mentality of like, okay, he's 86 from the bar.
What?
You know, it was just like,
who knocked over a camera?
His son. My kid. Yeah.
Oh,
my son.
I see.
Well, he just can't handle his liquor.
Well, you know what?
You know, Patrick.
I've heard that.
Patrick, if I could jump in here, it's Diane. I'm the parent in the crowd here, and
okay.
I'll tell you. You know, it's. I hear what you're saying. You feel excluded from the fun because everybody else has parked their kid at home with a nanny, and you want to bring your child with you. I don't know what sitting down and talking it over will change about that. They're not suddenly going to fire the nanny and say, oh yeah, let's bring all the kids to all the parties. They're just not going to do that. So, you know, talking it over is what we talk about here, and it's a great idea to do, and it's always, I think, always healing to do. But I'm thinking maybe you need some new friends.
It's true, Patrick.
What
Diane's saying is absolutely right. You've got to find some friends. Not exclusively. I don't mean dump these friends and start over. I don't think Diane means that either. But you've got to find some friends who have the same value system as you, who have kids and want to be around the kids and have the kids around them so that you can spend some time with those kinds of folks who share that value with you. And every once in a while, go out with these guys and get a sitter. But you can't be bringing your son who... who's so small to a, when they want to go out drinking beer and doing whatever they want to do with the grown-ups. So you are going to be left out of that group, and maybe that's not altogether a bad thing.
Well, you need some play dates. You need some adult play dates with kids attached.
Yeah. Let me offer one more thing before we close out of this friendship, is that maybe one night you'll be sitting on the deck, you'll be smoking a cigar and having a glass of beer, a bottle of beer. I don't know. You'll be having a beer.
Sippy cup.
The time may feel right for you to say to your buddy, you know what, nothing's more important than your relationship with your kid. I envy your career, and I'm certainly proud of you, but at the end of the day, you know, there'll be a moment where you just want to say that to him in a way that feels full of love and not full of judgment.
I would do that by making it about you. You know, nothing's more important to me than my time with my son, so that you can model the appropriate behavior for him without sort of thrusting it on him, or, you know, because it's too risky, I think, if you start using the word you.
Oh. Well, they're great people, and they're very open-minded. I mean, I think that is a good way to broach the subject, is make it about me.
Okay. Cool.
The classic, it's not you, it's me.
Right. There you go. Now you got it.
We need to see other couples.
All right, Patrick. Well, thanks for calling us to talk it over.
Hey, thank you very much. Have a great night, guys.
All right.
Bye, Patrick.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Lots of luck with that. Boy, I have been there and done that, you know, and you kind of miss your friends. You want to be with them drinking beer and eating pizza at the bar, but you can't do it when you're a parent. Hey, everybody, you're listening to Talk It Over Radio. You can join in our conversation, too. Give us a call at 888-531-7171. Or if you can't get through, for goodness sake, leave us a message. 888-531-7171. Our lovely producer, Trish, will call you back.
She's standing by. Actually, we've given her a chair this week because...
nice.
Yes, it's a reward program that we're running.
You know, it's funny. Before we go to the next caller, there's a piece about this that's the flip side that I've just got to say.
Okay.
I was single until I got married 3 weeks before my 40th birthday, so I was single late into life.
Mm-hmm. Bloomer.
Or I take a while to catch on, one of the two. And my wife and I don't have any children. And what I have found is that we've lost friends because they've peeled off and had kids. And then they start hanging out with all the mommy and me parents and all that sort of thing. And I actually had, when I was single, I had two different pairs of friends of mine who I just adored, who when they got pregnant, sat me down and said, we really want you to find the girl so that you can get married and get on the same track as us, because we're afraid we're going to lose you as a friend otherwise, because we know our life's about to change. And they were right. And I did. So I think that's part of life, is we grow up, we evolve, we move separate directions, we find each other again later in life. And, you know, that inevitable change is part of what happens. And so just one more word to Patrick, if he's still listening, is it's okay. You will find
it's normal.
Your son will grow up, and by the time he's 12, he'll be off doing Little League, and, you know,
you'll be back drinking beer in no time.
Exactly.
All right, let's go to the phones, Matt.
Yes, next up, we've got Sarah on the line. Hello, Sarah.
Hi.
Hi, Sarah. Thanks for calling Talk It Over. What's going on with you?
Oh, well, it's another friend with kids sort of problem.
Oh, I love these.
We love these. It's
Pile
a
it
kid
on.
Show.
Pile it on.
Well, it's sort of odd. I got connected with an old friend from high school on Facebook, and our lives have been pretty different. I'm single, and she has kids. But recently, I got a message from her asking if I could change all of my privacy settings on Facebook so that she wouldn't be able to see what events and meetings I attended. Because she said that what I wrote was just not child-friendly enough for her kids, and they sit on her lap and read over her shoulder when she's on the computer.
Oh, my God, that is awesome. I've never heard this.
No.
This is crazy.
But it sounds like she's the one that needs to change her privacy
settings,
maybe.
It's your responsibility to...
Yes. And what is she going to do when these children go to school?
It's called the internet. Everything is up there. If your child's on your lap, you're the one who's supposed to watch what you pull up on the screen, I think.
Wow.
Yes. Sarah, what did you say to her? Have you had a talk it over moment?
Sort of. I wanted to make sure I wanted to be absolutely sure that was what she was asking me to do.
Uh-huh.
So I was just taken aback.
Please repeat what you just said.
Yeah.
Are
Am
you
I
crazy?
Understanding you right?
Are you as selfish as what I just heard? All right. Let me ask your child to tell you that this is ridiculous and just type it into your Facebook profile. What are you doing right now? You know, Facebook is such a busybody, and every time you log on and wants to know what you're doing. What are you doing? It's like, ah! This type, I'm typing things children shouldn't see. Ah!
So what did you say to her, and what was her response? Have you talked to her face-to-face?
No, I've just talked to her on Facebook. So she said that the original message was a little bit unclear, and so I didn't even know what she was referring to specifically, because I don't really write anything that crazy on my profile.
You don't sound like a nasty girl.
No, I'm not. But I was going to a birthday party, and it turned out that the person who had written her invitation was Carol turns 20 effing 5.
Okay.
And it was F star 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 right. And then 5. Mm-hmm. And she said that, you know, her kids read really quickly, and she doesn't want to have to explain what that means to them.
You know, I think what you need to do is have your friend, your high school friend that you found on Facebook, call the show so we can explain to her how to talk that over with her child. Because, people write whatever they want to on Facebook, and on your own profile, people comment on your photos and everything else. You don't have any control over what people write about you up there.
No.
Even if you could.
You know, I would just politely say you may want to unfriend me, because Facebook specifically is not for people under 16 for just these reasons.
Oh, does it say that? Is that their MO?
No, but say that anyway. That's brilliant. Because it turns it around on her that, hey, I'm not here to raise your child. You're there to raise your child.
Yeah, I have two words for your kids. Club Penguin.
Good night. How about that?
But very seriously, that's a good point. I mean, you can say to her, I didn't even write the thing you're talking about. Somebody else did, and it showed up in my profile. Or maybe I referred to it in my profile, but... Look,
that's what we do on Facebook.
We're grown-ups.
Yeah,
and
we're grown-ups.
If you don't want to connect at that level, then let's you and I just email now that we're in touch.
But you know what I find interesting about this, Sarah, is the audacity of people that think that they can ask us to rearrange our lives for them.
Oh.
And that you're calling us and wanting to know what to do about it, and because she's made you feel as if this is your issue and not hers.
Right. It's tricky because I mean, she's an old friend, and I know that, we're politically pretty different. We're in terms of like liberal and conservative, and
let me guess which is which.
Yeah, she's the conservative one, right?
Yeah, a little bit more. Yeah,
a little bit. Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
It just seems that it doesn't seem fair that because she is the more conservative one that she should be making the rules for me. Although I it's not like a mentality I haven't seen before. It's just that it's sort of odd when it actually happens to you.
Yeah, it does, and it's off-putting because you're
and it's so personal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Sarah, so you're going to write back to her on Facebook something like, "I didn't even write that invitation. May I suggest that Facebook is for adults and not children?" And then see what she says.
May I suggest? I love that, Diane.
Don't you think?
Yeah. I think what I would say is, something more general, like rather than giving her instruction about what Facebook is or isn't, because she's going to take offense to that.
Yeah.
I would just simply say, I can't control what people are writing, on profiles or emails or on my wall or anything else. So
you may want to unfriend me, and we'll catch up on email.
Yeah.
Yeah, or yeah, something like that.
They're much nicer than me, Sarah. I would just tell her to take a hike. But anyway,
that's why people are still getting in touch with her, Diane.
that's why nobody Facebook friends me.
Oh, now come on, Diane's the only one of us with a fan club, though.
Diane is a fan club. Thanks for sharing that.
Let us know what happened, Sarah. Would you?
Yeah, keep us posted.
That's a really good one. Thank you very much for sharing that.
And you can be our Facebook friend.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I need some internet etiquette lessons, so I hope Sarah does call us back. our email is piling up in the Talk It Over email box. Let me read you this one. This is from Sandy in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Hey, Talk It Over gang, love the show. That's nice.
Yay. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. Tell me, please, if I'm crazy, if I'm a crazy out-of-touch grandma or what. My 11-year-old granddaughter has just returned from another birthday slumber party where, in my estimation, the mothers are giving out very inappropriate party favors. This time, Becky, who is a bit of a tomboy still, came home with a bag full of cosmetics, lipsticks, mascaras, and the like, and 3 pairs of thong underwear. She is 11 years old.
Wow.
Shall I keep my trap shut or talk it over with her mother?
Well, like everything, the answer is you have to talk it over. The question is how. I mean,
and with who? I mean, yeah. The child's mother didn't give the party favors out.
I know, but maybe the child's mother has an opinion. I would have to start there. That's family. That's your daughter and your granddaughter's mother. That's the conversation you've got to have first and say, you know, exactly the question she asked us, Sandy, am I an out-of-touch crazy grandma or is this just really out of line? That's not for us to answer for her, although I'm sure we each have our opinions about it. It's really about what the child's mother thinks and how that child's being raised. I mean, if the mother says, hey, look, this is the post-MTV generation, and you know this is what she and all her girlfriends are doing, I think it's okay, then you've got to have a discussion with the mother. And if the mother says, no, I was appalled, what do you think I should do? Then you're brainstorming about how to talk to the mom who gave the party or, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
But this is definitely a can of worms that needs opening.
Oh, yeah.
And not just, I find that nothing is ever best left inside to fester.
Exactly.
You know, so you might as well say something. And if the mother
says that about thong underwear.
Oh.
At 11 years old. if you bring it up to the mother and the mother says, oh, come on, you know, it's just all in fun, then you back off.
Yeah.
That's what I would do.
Yeah, I think we're in consensus there, Sandy.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, so now Sandy knows. Let's see, we've got some more email. Can I do that?
Sure.
Is time to do email? Okay.
Absolutely.
This is from Ron in Manhattan, New York. My sister's daughter is gay, in a long-term relationship, and pregnant via artificial insemination with their second child. I've always liked this kid, but now that she's grown up, all she wants to talk about is gay rights, gay marriage, and how everything is so unfair for people like her. This kid was raised in the upper class, has a master's degree. Her parents bought her New York condo for her. I just want to slap her into reality sometimes. Should I try to talk it over, talk some common sense into her, or is it a lost cause?
You know, I think these are people that you just grab them and put them on an airplane and fly them to Ethiopia and have them spend 10 days there to see what the rest of the world lives like, because clearly she's so Paris Hilton, she's so out of touch with the rest of the world and what people really live like. I think, you know, it's unfortunate that we are so cushioned and comforted sometimes, because it keeps us from having the perspective about what the rest of the world deals with. And we do get caught up in our petty little worlds, whether it's, you know, so-and-so said something about me or my rights are being trampled on or something like that. Not that those things aren't important, but they've got to be taken in the perspective of, hey, come on, people are starving in the world. Let's figure out what we really need to focus on. And by the way, there's a conversation they have to have there, a talk it over moment, where they've got to say, tell me more about this. Tell me what you think we should do about it. And then the conversation can be ended because you've asked about the problem and helped, you know, find a solution to the problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I do know people like this too, that it's all about them, me, I'm a victim, oh, and nobody's nice to me. When in fact, I mean, I'm like you, Lee J, I want to say, hey, snap out of it.
Yeah.
That specific aspect of your personality is not what people don't like about you. It's every other piece of your personality that people are not responding.
You're just a jerk.
Yeah. It may not be that you're gay or being discriminated against. It's that you won't shut up that people don't like. You know,
exactly.
So many people fail to look in the mirror and understand that what people are commenting on has so much to do with the whole of themselves, not just an aspect of them.
Well, why is it so much easier to blame than to look inside?
Well, that we could spend 3 episodes on.
Yeah,
because that's hard.
Yet everybody does. And right now, our society is set up that way. I mean, that's what people are doing these days. And, you know, the media and the television and everything else that we're doing with our lives doesn't help.
Well, what are you going to do? You know what? I would sit the niece down and give her one of those come to Jesus sort of things, like, you know, you think your life is tough. Well, it isn't, because that's what I would do. But then again, that's me. Hey, everybody, more conflicts, more phone calls, more of your emails coming up. Don't go away. Stay close.
If you'd like to be part of the Talk It Over family, call 888-531-7171 anytime or send us an email to talkitover@gmail.com.
This is Talk It Over, your mediation station, and I think we're going to the phones, are we not, Matt?
Yes, great.
He's run out of fingers.
Yes.
He's got his hands fingers like, and like hands a pianist and toes extended.
His
pressing
right
every
hand
button
was trickling
the
treble keys, and his left hand was on the bass keys, and we asked him to play a middle C.
I had to do it with my nose just about. Okay, yes, indeed. We have Julianne on the Talk It Over phone lines. Hello, Julianne.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's happening in your life? Sure.
It's so funny because now I feel very petty.
Okay. There are no petty conflicts, we promise.
Okay, good. I have a two-year-old son, and I am in a... Oh, I just tripped over one of his toys.
Oh, as long as you didn't trip over him, that's just fine.
No. I am in a mommy's group, and we meet once or twice a week, and there are five of us, and we all have kids the same age. And four of us get along really well, like we're really good friends. And the fifth person who one of the women brought in...
You're going to vote her off the island?
Yes, that's a perfect way of saying it. We would love to vote her off the island.
Is she the B word?
I'm sorry?
The B word?
Yeah, she's mean.
Mm. Ooh.
She's really mean, and she's very... I think what gets... to us when we're talking behind her back, which is horrible, but one of the things she does is she's very catty, but she's really judgmental.
Ooh, I have the perfect solution. What you do is you say, you know what, we really like you, but we find your child very unattractive. So could you please not come over?
No.
That's a good idea.
No. Oh, gosh. Okay. So she's, the people that are walking through the world judging everything as if that's their calling.
Yeah, you know, and that's exactly it. And you know, when you're a mom, and especially a first-time mom, which we all are, you're kind of learning, every day you're learning, and a lot of the times it's trial and error, and a lot of the times it's by example. So you're learning from your friends who have kids the same age, or you're learning from other people who have had kids. And she sort of passes judgment on every decision everybody makes. Like, none of us are doing it right.
Mm. So here's the thing about judgment, if it helps.
Okay.
Judgment is something that we grow up, and once we become teenagers and then grown-ups, it's something we pride ourselves on. I mean, if you think about it, we spend our whole lives trying to discern good from evil and the right thing from the wrong thing and the right outfit to wear and all those sorts of things. Discrimination and judgment is something that we pride ourselves once we've developed it. But then some people don't advance to the next level where they open their minds to other input. Mm-hmm. And they just cling to their own judgment because it's their safety place. So,
and we don't like those kind of people,
yeah.
Julia.
Let's judge her.
They're all over the place.
But it's tricky because you probably started out in a mommy and me group together, and it would be, how do you kind of naturally select against one of you? It is very tricky. So I'm going to just assume that she's got to stay in the group, Lee J and Diane, and what do we do about it?
Well, here's the thing to do. When you got somebody who's so judgmental like that and who is just, you know, exactly like Julianne said, making it so that everything everybody else does is wrong, the thing that... let's say there's five of you and she criticizes something that Julianne does. One of the other moms has to say to her, well, you know, maybe Julianne had a reason for that.
Mm.
And help give her perspective. Because what people who are so judgment-heavy are missing... is the perspective from another point of view. So if you other four could make or the three
a pack.
The
Ooh,
three of
conspiring.
You who didn't invite her.
Ooh, I like
stick up for one another.
Yeah, stick up for one another, and by offering this angry one, this judgmental one, other perspectives about why it's okay that people may be doing this for a reason, that'll help pry her mind open with the jaws of life slowly and surely.
And so she
really
doesn't get
smart,
to hijack
actually.
It. She doesn't get to hijack everyone else's emotions.
Exactly. Right.
Gang up on her. Just gang up on her,
exactly.
Julianne.
No, but that is actually really smart. Because what happens is we're all sharing, and you know, you start feeling good comparing stories and comparing things you've screwed up, and somebody else says, "Oh my God, I screwed that up too." Or you know, you're learning from each other. It's a very safe place.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to kind of correct her, but we've stopped now. She kind of just shuts it all down, but I think that's really smart. If it's not coming from the person she's judging, it's coming from someone else.
Right.
Exactly. Then it doesn't become a one-on-one argument, number one. And number two, you can almost turn it into a, all right, well, what was good about that moment?
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay, you won't believe I did this thing. It was so silly. And she says, oh, that was a dumb thing to do.
Right.
Then, you know, one of the other moms can chime in and say, yeah, all right, so what was good about that? Well, we learned never to do it again. Ha,
yeah.
Ha, ha.
You know, right.
And, well, you know, you shouldn't leave your baby on the roof and then drive off. That's, I learned that. Wow.
Exactly. Okay. I really like that. That's really smart.
Okay, good. We're so glad that we helped, and we want to hear how everything turns out. So
I will absolutely let you know.
And thanks for calling Talk It Over.
Thank you so much.
All right, Julianne, okay. Thanks.
Bye.
Okay, wow, here's my I'm going to bet something here. That mean, judgmental woman is going to drop out of that mommy group. You want
right.
to bet?
Really?
Yeah, because she won't enjoy the conversation that says
once.
Maybe there are other perspectives that make you wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she can't dominate it, then
right.
she's
it's
probably
not fun.
Not
she'll find another group of sheep that she can
but
kind of herd around.
The nice thing is Julianne and the other moms won't have to be confronted with kicking her out, which will leave a taint in the group even after she's gone.
You know, mm-hmm.
This way,
right.
they'll just say, this is the direction we've agreed we want the group to go, and they'll move it in that direction, and she won't any longer feel like she fits. Diane, that's a really good catch.
You know, we're kind yep. of having a show where we're dealing with sort of, I don't want to use the word bullies, but I guess people in our lives that tend to kind of want to steer things their way, and then how we deal with that and still maintain those friendships, because we're all sort of afraid to stick up for ourselves. You know, Sarah with the Facebook friend,
mm-hmm.
And some people just sort of walk through the world as if, well, I want things this way, and I'm going to say what I'm going to say this, and I'm going to expect it. And then when suddenly the world doesn't respond to them, you know, it's
well, they go away to bother
okay.
more people.
Go away to bother. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's behavior modification.
Right.
I mean, that's simple, basic behavior mod. You know, if people are doing things you like, you tell them how wonderful they are. And if mm-hmm. they're doing things you don't like, you don't tell them anything. You know, the old, if you don't have something nice to say, don't say anything at all. And eventually it works. People get that what they're doing is ineffective. It works with people who try and take control of a conversation, with people who interrupt all the time. It works great.
All right, I'm going to interrupt.
Go.
And we're going to go to the phones. Matt.
Yes, we've got David on the line. Hello, David.
Hello, how are you?
Good. Thanks for calling Talk It Over, David. What can you share with us?
Sure. Well, at the place I work, I have a coworker that I work with, and she and I are both in, we have a direct report to us. And so we, you know, there's a little bit of a, 50-50 split between this person's time. And she's relatively new at the company, but it's not really working out for my coworker. She seems to be okay for me, but my coworker who I share this responsibility with wants to get rid of this girl and let her go, whereas I'm not so quick to do that yet.
So she reports to the two of you. And
she
how
reports
long? How long has she been there?
She's been here about 10 months now.
Uh-huh. What a great Talk It Over moment, though, for
yeah.
you and your coworker, because you can sit her down and say, let's talk about this. It seems like we're different. You have your mind made up that you want to replace her quickly and move on. I'm not so sure that we've done the best managing job to bring her along as well as we can and you know, help her maximize her performance. Let's talk about this, because it's no longer about do we ax her or keep her, where one of you wins and the other one loses, but you can have a great conversation about your coworker can say to you, well, I don't like the way she does this, this, and this. And you can say, well, how can we help her do those three things better? And let's set a timeline, but let's work on trying to help her, because ultimately, as you know, as a direct report, you're there to coach her and mentor her, right?
Right. That is right.
But I'm hearing the hesitation. What's not going to work about that?
Well, my hesitation is that I agree with all of the things that that my coworker has to say about this woman. But I just sort of feel in these kind of economic times, it wouldn't, you know, it's not really the right thing to do, and that I feel like we can, you know, get.
Whoa. Sounds like we might have lost David.
We had to let him go.
Well, David,
it wasn't working out.
Yeah, it wasn't working out.
And, you know, economically, we just couldn't keep him.
Well, David, you know, it's Uh-oh. Great. I hope you're still listening, David.
Yeah.
You're making the right decision about, you know, looking out for this woman's well-being. The tipping point, though, comes when you've got to decide, is her lack of performance going to keep you two from getting what you need to get done? Are you sacrificing your own job performance because your support person isn't there for you while you're busy trying to help her along?
I'm not necessarily
from my end.
Yeah, I'm back.
We thought we left. Sorry.
That's all right. No worries. So my job performance isn't suffering. It's just more, you know, she's sort of annoying and she's needy and she's looking to go out with us, you know, socially, and we don't want to go out with her. And, you know, the two of us both have other lives, and this person's relatively new to the area. So I think that she was used to more of a social environment in terms of her work environment being also her social environment, whereas our company is not like that.
So, you know, it sounds to me like the two of you might want to have a little pre-caucus and then sit down with her and talk it over and say, I mean, you've got to have a good, firm discussion with her, first of all, before you do anything. You can't just cut her loose. You've got to say, look, there are some things that we're very concerned about your temperament here in the office and things like that. And, you know, we got to break it to you that socially, we just don't do that. And it sounds like that's what you're used to where you come from. So, you know, this is how it's going to be going forward. Is that something you can live with? Mm-hmm. And then listen to her.
It is interesting. I did sit down with her and ask her to find some other outlets for her social activity.
You did?
I did. And she did that a little bit, but now it's sort of reverting back to how it was before. And also, you know, she just sort of says some silly things sometimes, or just like, really?
Yeah, you know, well, David, it's Diane here. Let me just jump in, because one thing Lee J said at the very beginning of this has just been ruminating in my head, and that is, what a great talk it over moment. Sit your colleague down, not the worker, but your managerial colleague
right.
and ask her, have we done a good enough job of managing this woman? And maybe the answer is no. No, you haven't.
True,
because
no,
why is she so annoying? Why does she say things out of the blue that you look at her and go, really? Because when she first started doing things like that, you let her do it.
Yeah. Well, let
so
me give you
maybe,
an example.
Yes.
I'm thinking maybe
of the really moment. Well, like the other day, she says, you know, I'm Jewish. She goes, so, you know, since you're Jewish, what do you do differently for Thanksgiving?
See, that's so kind of adorable.
This woman's
how old is this woman?
She's 32.
Oh my goodness.
Well, she.
So, I sort of chalked it up that she's from the Midwest, and
I was just gonna say, what part of Iowa is she from? Because I was thinking, we don't have any affiliates yet in Iowa.
Yeah.
See, because she sounds kind of like what was the Rose character on the Golden Girls, where you can just kind of laugh and giggle and say that, you know, you're so silly that she's just that kind of character in the workplace, and if you all have fun with it rather than letting it sort of just kind of bring everything to a screeching halt where you sort of look and go, I don't know how to respond.
Or you do a Jon Stewart thing where you give her a fake answer with a straight face and amuse yourselves. And you say, actually, we can only eat the white part of the turkey or something like that. And just watch her go, ooh.
Mm. Yeah, I did tell her that we went and shot our own bird with a musket. But,
well, there you go.
So we did kind of do that. But it's interesting. She does get a little sensitive when you do say that, and she'll say something back like, well, are you kidding? And I'm like, yeah, of course I'm kidding. And she's like, well, there's always a little truth to, you know, kidding. I'm like,
you know what? That's when it gets to you and your colleague just saying, you know, I don't know if it's going to work out because she doesn't have a thick skin, and yet she's an idiot, no offense. So
Who are you offending?
It's not going to get better.
Not me.
And then you need to give yourself permission to say, yeah, it's not going to get better.
And David,
let's just let her go. Where she will find workers of like-mindedness, and she'll be more comfortable.
David, I'm hearing something else. You called and said, my coworker wants to get rid of her. I think we have to give her another chance. And yet all you've done is tell us how she's getting under your skin, whether you realize it or not. Here's a news flash. The economy, here's the flip side to it. There are a lot of really good, capable, hardworking, bright people out of work right now, or soon going to be out of work. Mm-hmm. What I'm hearing, honestly, from you is that she's under your skin and you're having a tough time with her, too. Maybe your partner needs to be the one to drop the axe, or maybe you've got to find, of course, a good replacement for her first. But this is a moment where I think it's important to think about the after moment. Once you've made the decision, had the conversation with her, explained to her why it's not working, if that's the conclusion that you and your coworker come to, and think about afterwards what it's going to be like to have somebody in there who matches your personality, who's hardworking and bright, and all the things that you wish that she is or hope she's going to turn into.
Right. Okay. Great.
And then get out your musket and mean business with her.
Yeah.
And come on over for a bird.
But yeah. You have our permission to move on to someone who's a better fit for you guys.
Great.
You have our permission. And thank you so much for sharing your story. It's really helpful.
All right. Well,
good
thank
luck,
you
David.
All.
Thanks
all right.
for calling. Talk it over, David.
Take care.
Goodbye.
Bye bye. It really sounded like he just wanted permission.
Yeah.
Didn't it?
Yeah.
Diana?
The more he talked, yeah.
Yeah, and I think, too, the two managers have to sit down and agree that they either hired the wrong person or they haven't managed her right to do the things they need done to get the work done. And it's not about, well, it's a bad economic time. It's about, is she good for the company?
And I don't think things are going to change. I think after 10 months, you know.
David hit it on the head when he said, our company's not like that. When he was talking about the social aspect,
mm-hmm.
it sounds like their company is also not one that takes things lightly and has a sense of humor and can have the patience for her, you know, questions that sound naive to them. You know,
yeah.
Some workplaces, they would have a ball with that and with her too.
But she didn't have the right personality for that.
Right, because other workplaces like David's, I think, are very serious and have a lot of work to get done and don't have any time for, what do you do different for Thanksgiving because you're Jewish?
Yeah. And you know what, David, be a manager because your job may be on the line here pretty soon. Hey, this is Talk It Over Radio, folks, where we solve the world's problem two people at a time. Can't do it without you. So give us a call, 888-531-7171, 888-531-7171. Or you can always drop us an email, as many people have done here this evening, talkitover@gmail.com. So there's there too.
Yeah, we should get on the Twitter and let people tweet us.
Oh, Twitter, exciting. Twitter. I got Facebook, I got LinkedIn, I got MySpace, I got AOL, I got, please, I it's enough.
I've made the same as everybody keeps telling me, you know, follow me on Twitter and all this. I can't. There's just not enough hours in the day. I have to work sometimes.
Yeah, no, but I mean, during the show, if we had it on live, it'd be great to see if people were, tweet away at us.
Hey, speaking of email, as I was, let's get to another email. And this is a complete change of tone here. Folks,
okay.
This is from Patty in New Jersey, and she doesn't pinpoint it any closer than that, and now I see why. She writes, my husband is a sheriff's officer who has sadly been put in charge of evicting people, both renters and those who have defaulted on their home mortgages. Oh, can you imagine? She says it's a terrible task for anyone to have to do, and he has to do it over and over and over again. My husband says he's fine with it, but he's not. Now, here's the kicker. His boss is my brother.
Oh.
I'd like to go talk it over with my brother to take my husband off this terrible duty. He's been doing it for 6 whole months now, but something tells me to hold back so I don't hurt my husband's career. What should I do?
Wow.
This is a great one, if you think about it. Mm-hmm. Patty has a chance to talk to her brother, she's not standing up for her husband. She can say, you know, I'm watching him go through this, and I just keep thinking, this is such a crummy detail. Shouldn't this be something that people rotate into and out of for, like, you know, every month somebody else should be on that detail and have...
That's good, you know, yeah.
And she can help her brother... by planting that managerial seed in a way that, I have to say sexistly, women are very good at doing, with a man in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
She can plant that seed. He'll think it's his own idea, and her husband will be off that detail by the end of the month. And it'll be better for everybody who has to do that in the future, because that is hard to have to break the bad news to people all the time like that.
No, you would need therapy. You'd need to be in therapy.
Oh, yeah.
That's really a smart idea. And women, thank you. Thank you, Lee J. Berman, professional mediator, for saying that about women. Because I think it's true. I think we have a nice soft way of sometimes saying, here's a good idea on a silver platter you can steal and take as your own.
Exactly. My wife is masterful at having me come up with the best ideas.
I like that.
Very good.
All right. Well, gosh, we have got a lot of email in the Talk It Over email box.
Let's
and if you have a question, yeah, talkitover@gmail.com. Oh, I don't know. Let's see. Which one shall I go to? How about Timothy in Malibu Beach, California? He writes, my wife and I are getting a bit older. We're into our 50s now. And, well, there's no better way to say this. She's been putting on weight.
Wait, first of all, we have to remind Timothy that 50 is the new 30, right?
Yes.
Of course it
is. Damn you, 50s, Timothy.
50s older? What do you mean? Go ahead.
Well, that's what he says. And he says it's not just a few pounds his wife has put on. The trouble is she's lost that girlish figure, and I'm just not as attracted to her as I used to be. I'm no Greek god myself, but I have only put on about 10 pounds heavier than when we married. She's probably put on 25 pounds, and I'm not sure how to talk it over with her without hurting her feelings, but I really need to. Can you help me get through this?
All right, I've got the answer.
I'm stepping back on this one.
You say, honey, I have something that I want to talk to you about, and then you start running. And she has to run after you. And by the time she catches you, she's lost 30 pounds. She's looking fantastic. She gets a sandwich, and you make love. No?
No, no.
Well, there you have it.
Hold it. If it's a guy, you got to make love, then have the sandwich.
All right.
Okay, so...
That Timothy. Is tricky when people in love, you know, put
yeah,
on weight or...
It is.
They're
but
not,
here's the
they
thing.
Don't look like they did on their wedding night.
He's saying he put on 10 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying, you know, so that's acceptable to me, but her 20 or 25 isn't. Now, you know, I don't know if she was 90 pounds when they married and she's put on 25 or whether she was 130 when they married. You know, I don't know how tall she is or how she wears it. What I'm hearing is he's not feeling the same way toward her.
He's not attracted to her anymore.
Guess what, Timothy? It's probably fairly mutual. And what this calls for is a talk it over moment where you say, you know what? Here it is. It's the big 5-0. We're well into our 50s now. We've got to start thinking about longevity. And are we going to live another 15 years or are we going to live another 35 or 45 years? We need to have a conversation about our lifestyle and what are we going to do together to get in better shape, to exercise more regularly, to commit to doing that so that we're here for each other.
Isn't he dodging the issue if he talks about health when he really wants to talk about sexual appeal?
Well, but they go hand in hand because what he's not saying she's become ugly or narcissistic or pessimistic or anything like that. He's saying physically I'm not attracted to her. And it does go hand in hand because if she's put on 25 pounds,
it's unhealthy.
Yeah, her heart's not got here. Her heart can't be doing well. Her lungs can't be doing well. Nothing is going to do them more good than getting physical, aside from the fact that it creates endorphins in the body and all these other things that the exercise will do to help stimulate those feelings. You know, the other thing he didn't say in the email that, you know, we get calls and emails like this frequently on this show, and they usually include, and there's this young hottie in the office that I keep looking at, and he's not saying that. He's saying,
yeah,
I love her.
Yeah, but he
her.
Might be thinking it.
Well, but come on, not all guys are bad.
He is genuinely.
He wants to fix the problem.
He wants to fix it. That's right. Well, I'm particularly sensitive to this because my husband has just lost a bunch of weight, and I have gone the opposite route. And so, you know, I'm interested in this whole topic and how to address it without hurting feelings because I need to lose 20 pounds too.
Well, you know.
Oh, I thought you wanted your husband to gain 20 pounds.
Well, you know, that wouldn't be a bad idea. He's really gotten thin, but
yeah,
anyway,
for
his health.
Yeah, he's gotten thin for his health.
It's about the big picture, though, and it's the health reason more than anything. You know, what's happening is we work and we work and we work and we raise kids, and the kids are out of the house, and first thing you know, because we're sitting on our rear ends all day at work, if that's the kind of work that we do. Or we're sitting in front of a microphone on our rear ends all day and the night. What we have to do is make a decision consciously as a society and as a married couple that we're going to do this. And here's the sappy moment. My wife and I told you, we got married later in life. I was 40. We looked at each other on our wedding night and promised each other. We looked at each other and pointed at each other and said, you owe me 50 years. And we promised each other we'd give each other 50 years.
Awesome.
And with that,
I love this story.
The beautiful thing about it is if I start putting on weight and eating a bunch of crummy junk food and things like that, she looks at me and says, you better clean your act up. You owe me 50 years, Buster. And that's like our code word for, I'm serious, clean up your act. I want you by my side when I'm 90.
Oh, that's really nice.
Yeah,
and then so you can get really fat.
So, Diane, it can be turned into a real positive with you and Michael and say, look, I realize that we're both working too hard. The shifts that he's been working on the radio in New York, I know have him out of the house at, what were you telling us, 4 o'clock in the morning? And
oh, yeah. Sometimes it's all weird and he gets home at 4 o'clock and sometimes he leaves at 8 o'clock at night and it's terrible.
Yeah. And so, you know, these are lifestyle choices that you can make together, and being healthy is the foundation of it all, and being there for each other is the foundation. It's a real positive win-win opportunity.
Yeah, I'll tell you one quick thing because I think we have a caller on the line, but God forbid this should happen, but I said to my husband, you're getting too thin, and I, you know, please. And he said two words, my friend's husband, Tim Russert.
Uh-huh.
And that was a very sobering moment for me because Tim Russert, who, of course, NBC correspondent who died recently, is the husband of my good friend Maureen Orth. And it hit me full in the face. He's right. He's absolutely right. So yeah. I don't bug him about gaining weight back. And okay, I'll get on the treadmill right after this. Anyway,
to the
phones.
Let's go to the phones. Next, we've got Trent on the line. Hello, Trent.
Hello.
Hey, Trent. How's it going with you? What's happening? What do you need from us? How can we help you?
All right. Well, long story short, I guess. I'll give you guys a short version. I just started going out with this girl, and we've been going out for like 2 weeks or something like that. But like, you know, we've been like talking and stuff like that for like a while.
How old are you, Trent?
I'm 18.
Oh, 18. Okay, we've got a young man on the line. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. And I got a very strange phone call last night from someone who I used to like a long time ago. And her and I mean, you know, I'd liked her for like a long time, and like. But, you know, whenever I would try to go after her, like, to go out with her and stuff, like, she always had a boyfriend or, you know, she was always, like, paying attention to some other guy and stuff. But her and I talked the other night, and I don't know, she's, like, kind of expressing interest now, and I just don't know what to do because, like, you know.
Okay, how...
So you want to dump the girlfriend for the girlfriend who might become a girlfriend?
Yeah, I've thought about this, like, all different ways, and I'm, like... That's completely the wrong reasons to break up with this other girl, because this other girl's like really nice and sweet and stuff like that, and you know, I can't do that to her, but like, you know, but this other girl, like, I've liked for like a long time and stuff like that, so. But she's never been like available.
How come
you
can't date two people at the same time? Can't you date
two? You know, that's
two?
What I keep saying, and I don't know. Like, apparently, that's wrong against morals or something. I don't know.
Have you had a conversation with her about the current one, about dating her exclusively? Have you guys made that decision?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like we're at the point where, like, holding hands and going on dates and stuff like that, and, like, you know, she doesn't really flirt with other guys and stuff like that, and I don't really flirt with other girls and stuff.
My mom used to talk about a time when she was a kid when you went out in groups and you could see lots of different people, and it was called dating, and you weren't supposed to be serious with it.
It was 18... also called the 40s.
But he's 18 years old. Why is it that they have to pick one mate? Why can't they?
I'm with you.
I totally agree. I don't think he has to, except that she's now has committed her heart to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They've been dating for 3 weeks. What are we talking about here?
Is it 3 weeks?
Yeah, you know. Oh, well, but I mean, like, you know, we've been like, I think we made it like official, like, I don't know, about 3 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
But, like, you know, we've been like hinting and stuff like that for like, I don't know, maybe going on like a month and a half, 2 months or something.
You know, here's a thought. If you let this play out with Current, the past one, she'll still be there if it doesn't work out with Current.
And you keep up the friendship, and it's easy for you guys to do that now on the internet. And you say, look, you know what? I've liked you for a while, but I'm seeing someone. Let me see how this plays out, and let's definitely be friends, and let's chat every day online. And you don't promise the girlfriend that you won't do that with other girls. It's just, you know, in terms of swapping spit, try and keep that to only one of them.
All right, on that note.
In other words, play the field, Trent. You're too young to just get hooked up with one. Play the field.
Don't promise anyone anything.
Don't be dishonest with anybody.
I already have the mindset, like, I'm not going to marry any of these women.
You see who you sink with.
You don't ever know. You never know where it's going to come from.
But you see who you sink with and who is the right vibe for you, and you'll...
And just make sure you're talking it over with them, Trent.
Yes, be honest with both of them. Thank you so much.
Good luck.
Thank you so much for calling. Take care. Bye-bye.
Get on Facebook. Make a whole bunch of friends, but be careful. They might have a kid sitting in their lap, so don't use the F word.
Or F apostrophe, I mean, asterisk, asterisk, asterisk.
Asterisk, yeah. Asterisk.
What have we learned here tonight?
Oh, my God.
We learned a lot tonight.
Well, yeah. I'd like to thank all of our callers, our engineer Matt, producer Trish, Lee J. Berman, Diane Diamond, webmaster Pierce, and our intern tonight was David. Thank you so much. And with that, Talk It Over is over.